I guess the longer you serve the Lord and the longer you preach and minister, a lot of scriptures become very familiar. Amen. Some folks may have never read this portion of scripture. I don't know. But to me, it's familiar because I've preached from it. I've heard people preach from it. I've been saved for 37 years. I've heard a lot of preaching. I've done a lot of preaching in 37 years. You don't think about it that much until you stop for a moment and realize, wow, that's a lot of preaching. That's a lot of Word of God coming our way. And that's kind of the Bible, you know, washed in the water of the Word. In other words, it's just, you know, you just got to keep being washed. It's got to keep coming. It's got to keep being there. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Praise his holy name. You can be seated again tonight. Amen. I want to share with us tonight, talk about, bring us to a climax of footstool faith. Amen. Footstool faith. Now this story, once again, I said is familiar. It's familiar to me. I trust it's familiar to you. But here we find that Jesus has already constrained his disciples. As you back up, you read in Matthew chapter number 14, he constrained them to get in the boat and told them to go to the other side. He was going to go for a season of prayer is what he was going to do. And along about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus Christ is walking on the water. Jesus is not doing this to prove a point. We read in another portion of Scripture, he was walking and he was not even looking for the disciples, wasn't planning on meeting the disciples. Actually, he was planning on just going on by them and going on to the other side. But in the midst of the wind and in the midst of the waves, they actually saw Jesus walking on the water. I don't know that we can wrap our minds around that. I don't know that we can get a grip on that. Jesus walking on the water. That's unreal. But then if we can't get a grip on that, we're going to have a hard time getting a grip on Jesus is walking these aisles. Because it takes the same faith to believe both. Understand both. Hallelujah. Praise our God. And so here he is walking on the water. He's walking on the sea. Not just walking on water. He's walking on the sea. He's not only walking on the sea, he's walking on the waves of the sea. Just this afternoon, I watched out my back door as the wind changed to the north-northwest, And that wind began to blow across our newly installed swimming pool. And there was white caps on the pool. The water was coming out of the pool onto the deck just by the wind. The water was rough. Be one thing to walk on that water in a pool, but another to walk on the sea amidst the waves of the sea. I've been out on Table Rock Lake before, and one of those storms came from nowhere. We're in a pontoon boat. You think it's safe? Well, it must have been. We made it back to shore. I was wondering. I was worried. I was fearful. I was driving. Amen. I mean, these waves were not just like, these waves were, and you can rest assured, I was praying. I'm not a water guy, number one. And when the storms hit and I'm on the water, that is not where I want to be. But I was there, and we made it in, and I was glad. Hallelujah. And I gave God the praise and the glory and the honor for getting me safely to that haven of rest. So here's the disciples in a same situation. The Lord's not with them at the moment, but their boat is being tossed to and fro in the wind, in the sea. And he's coming and he's walking on the water. And straightway they see him and automatically they're afraid. I would be too. You would be too. If you were out on the storm in the sea and the ship is rocking to and fro and you're wondering if your life is going to remain. And all of a sudden you see something coming towards you on the water. You'd be afraid too. Hallelujah. Now, we don't believe in ghosts. We don't believe it works that way. We do believe in demonic spirits, and they can manifest themselves. And so here they are thinking the devil's coming. A spirit, that's what it's talking about. A devil's coming, a demon's coming. Here we are, you know, afraid for our lives, and now the devil's coming on the scene. Jesus Christ hears them, and they cried out for fear. He hears them. These are grown men. Amen. It's amazing what people do when they get scared. I've watched a few. Hallelujah. I've watched my son-in-law get scared before he was my son-in-law. It's amazing what people do when they get scared. Some take flight. Some try to take flight. And some just stand frozen. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And so here they are. They're afraid. They're crying out for fear. But Jesus speaks unto them and says, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. They knew his voice. They knew his voice. Immediately, Peter didn't even think about it. Immediately, Peter, when he heard the Lord's voice, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus didn't even hesitate one bit. He didn't say, now, Peter, you know you can't walk on the water. Now, Peter, you know that you don't really want to get out here. Now, he didn't try to stifle his faith one iota one bit. He just said, come. Come. Peter had faith. And Peter stepped out of the boat. I don't know how hard it was to get out of the boat. There's different types of boats. The boat that I have seen displayed as a fisherman's boat is a high on the sides and sets out of the water a couple of feet. It's not like a kayak or canoe that we did the float trip in where you just step off in the water, you know, fall off in the water. I mean, he had to climb over the side and get good, and this is the strange part, get good footing on the water. I mean, you know, he had to climb out. I mean, the sides was probably as tall as our stage here from the depictions I have seen. It may not have been quite that tall. But so he had to climb over to get out of the boat and stand. Wow. Can you imagine that? Standing flat-footed on water. Now that would be a thrill. I mean, you know, he's out of the boat. He's standing on the water. I don't know how far he walked. I don't even know if he walked. But he's on the water. And it's evident he's standing there. Because the Bible says when he saw the waves and the situation and the circumstances, he began to sink. He didn't flail. He just began to sink. He didn't automatically just whoosh go under. Picture this in your mind. He's standing on the water, but all of a sudden the faith that he had when he started out faltered. And he began to sink. You know, I mean, I personally don't float. Well, I guess I do, but it just don't work well. A lot of times, I mean, I'm really kind of terrified of deep water. Don't like it at all. But when I get in water, I sink. I don't just slowly sink. I mean, however deep I'm in, I'm sunk. If I go out up to here, I'm sunk. I don't rise. And if I just keep walking down the slant of the swimming pool, I just go right down the swimming pool. I don't float well. I don't know why. I got big lungs. I always attributed it to big bones. Amen. Praise God. Because flat fat floats. I'm sorry. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So Peter, he's just gradually sinking. He doesn't just go completely. I mean, you know, when you dive into the pool, anybody ever dove into water feet first? You just go. You don't just go. But Peter was going. Why was he just beginning to sink? See, he didn't go under. He was just beginning to sink. Because his faith was faltering. And you need to grab a hold of this, church. As his faith began to falter, he began to go deeper. Because he started out in faith. He started out in confidence. And as he stepped out, he was standing on the water. And then, suddenly, he began to sink a little at a time. Because his mind began to calculate the circumstances, the situations, and to the reality, this is not possible. But it's possible, but I shouldn't be doing this. I can't do this. He began to sink. And Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand, caught him. So from what we've read here, then Jesus was close to Peter. I'm not sure whether Peter made distance to him or Jesus had already made distance to Peter, because number one, Jesus knew Peter. Jesus knows you. He knows your faith. And he knows the lack thereof. Hallelujah. And he's always about to build our faith. That's when Peter asked, Lord, bid me come. Jesus said, come. Because he wanted Peter to have that faith. He wanted Peter to know that power. He wanted Peter to know that confidence. And he said, come. But then Peter's faith began to falter and Peter began to sink. And the Lord immediately, and that's what the Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We've got to understand, the just shall live by faith. Jesus brought healing to multitudes, and many, many times he said, according to thy faith, be made whole. Faith is that confidence, that evidence, hallelujah, of things not seen. See, I mean, the Bible puts it like that. In other words, we can't see the end result, but we can see the Word of God. We can see the promises of God. We can perceive the truths of the kingdom of God. We do have the source that builds our faith to where we can believe for what we don't see. But see, that's where the battle's on. You see, because we like to see things. We like to have it all figured out. If you've been a Christian very long, or if you're new to Christianity, you're going to find out real quick it don't operate off you figuring it out. It operates off you following Jesus. I mean, just like Peter, when Jesus said, come, Peter got out of the boat. When Jesus reached forth his hand, Peter didn't scream out, Lord, I've got this. Woo. No, he immediately, he grabbed a hold of that hand, and immediately he was up out of that water again, and they were in the boat. And they acknowledged him as the Son of God. Thou art the Son of God. Hallelujah. But you notice here, and this is what I from this scripture, I want us to notice that Jesus didn't rebuke them. Jesus didn't bash them. But Jesus didn't withhold the reality that your faith went weak. You started out, but it went weak. That's the battle of faith in an individual. It is. Hallelujah. And that's why, I mean, there's times, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. God knows us. But what I want you to understand is Jesus did not leave Peter in the middle of the dilemma. Hallelujah. He went ahead and laid hold of him and got him right back in the boat. Hallelujah. You see, God's not against us. God is for us. But he's going to build our faith, because that's how he operates on the face of this earth. He doesn't operate because we have a lot of prayer going up. Because he talked about vain repetitions, but not that, you know, the Muslims pray, the Hindus pray. It's not a matter of a lot of prayers going up. It's got to be a lot of faith going up when those prayers are made. Hallelujah. And we've got to realize it's not how much I pray, how long I pray. It's a matter of when I pray, I believe my God, and I trust my God, and I have confidence in my God. Hallelujah. And my faith is not in my prayer. My faith is in my God. Hallelujah. And I am just simply asking of the Lord and then believing he's heard me and then letting him do his wonderful work on the face of this earth. Because that's what prayer that is believed unleashes on the face of this earth. I don't know that anybody's still doing it anymore, but at one point in time we started prayer journals. And we begin to write down prayer requests in those journals. And then when those prayers were answered, we begin to write that down. And we begin to survey, look at all the prayers God has answered. The reason I say that, I was talking to Lucas right before church. I said, man, it's hard to believe we're going right into December already. Where has 2020 went? And it really seemed like not a whole lot was accomplished in 2020. But yet at the same time, we fulfilled every vision on our vision calendar. We did every effort that we were going to try to put forth in 2020. We've did a lot of work. We've done a lot of things. But yet the reality seems like, wow, it's already gone. And doesn't seem like we've got anything done. Because we as humans forget. As time goes by, we forget. And all we can focus in on is right here, maybe a 2-week span. Because that's how we're operating. We've got things to do, schedules to keep, calendars to follow. I mean, we're so locked into that time. But we got to unlock, step back, and then take survey. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. So that faith can be strong and faith can be confident. And when we pray, we know God answers prayer because we've seen it happen. We've seen Him do it. And what He's done before, He will always do again. Because He always operates by the prayer of faith. Praise our God. And so we see then that faith here is encouraged. It is admonished in the sense that you've got to, He's trying to teach His disciples, there's no reason to doubt me. Why would I doubt Jesus? Has He ever lied to me? No. Has He ever done me wrong? No. Has He given me everything I want when I wanted it? No. He don't have spoiled children. I'm sorry. He doesn't. He has children that are chaste, temperate. He has children that are disciplined. Hallelujah. Because that's what it takes to function in faith. Because if we don't have that temperance, if we don't have that discipline, we really can't hardly have faith. Because we just live for the thrill. And if you live for the thrill, I'm telling you, there's no thrill a lot of times in faith. A lot of times, faith is drudgery. A lot of times, faith is climbing the mountain. A lot of times, faith is you don't see it, you don't feel it, but you believe it. And you just keep walking that direction. There may be circumstances, situations that transpire to try to tear down our faith. But no matter really what transpires, our faith must always remain in God. Hallelujah. And His answer will always come, and it may not always be yes. Sometimes it'll be no. Because sometimes, even Sister Pepper made reference of it, I don't even know how to pray for this situation. So how do I know if I'm going to get a yes or a no? I don't. I've got to know that the answer will come just the way it needs to come. And I walk on, I pray on, I believe on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's just the way it is. In Joshua chapter number 3. Remember, I'm still preaching on footstool faith. It's not because it's a short message. It's not because it's a small message. Hallelujah. It's footstool faith. It's a reality of who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. Thou art the Son of God. That is what was produced in that situation of Peter sinking in the water and faith being built in those disciples. Thou art the Son of God. You know, they didn't say, hey, you're the man that walks on water. Hey, you're the man that performs miracles. No, thou art the Son of God. Hallelujah. What was that? That was a humbling of their heart, an acknowledgement of who He was and how unworthy they were. And they wanted the faith that He wanted them to have. Thou art the Son of God. Woo, Joshua 3:14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they bear the ark, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood, rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaretan, And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. How many has ever seen rivers that have flooded? I mean, we've seen Prior Creek over here get out of its banks, go across roads. I've seen it go across the valleys. They're right next to the river. We got some farmland. My uncle's got some farmland right there in that, you know, just and that water sometimes when it rains and the creek gets out, it covers that, all them fields. We've had crops out there. We've had to go get a combine out of 3.5 feet of water. And we had to drag it out with a tractor because the current was so swift, we couldn't even walk in the water to go get it. We had to take another tractor and hook to it and to keep it from floating away because it was heavy in the front, but it was light in the back. So we had to hook the other heavy tractor to the back to keep it from floating away. I mean, you know, rivers that are out of their banks aren't just puddles to play in. Although sometimes as kids we think they were. Now, I can remember in Prior Creek getting out of its banks and going and riding my bicycle through it and watching the water get higher and higher across the road. And when it finally got up to the seat, I said, we better stop. And it was just a 20-inch bicycle. Of course, I was just a smaller kid too, praise God. But in other words, to get your mind to the fact that the water being out of its banks means it was moving swiftly. It was moving strongly. And the command of the Lord was that the priests were to take up the Ark of the Covenant and march down into the river. That was a command of the Lord. The priest would put the staves through the Ark of the Covenant. They would put it up upon their shoulders. And then the priest would march. Wow. All four of them, maybe six of them, probably just four. They're pretty tough guys, believe it or not. And they were to come to the water and march down in it. Wow. Now that took faith. That took faith on the priest's part. That took obedience on the priest's part. I mean, in reality, all they had was a promise of God. All they had was Joshua telling them, this is what God wants you to do, and God will work for us. I really don't know that they knew the water was going to part. They really didn't know what God was going to do. But they believed God was going to do. And here they are, when their feet hit the water. You know, I probably would have been on the backside of the ark. How about you? Woo! Bob, you go first. I'll get here on the back today. When their feet hit the water began to move. It began to roll up. Oh, I'd like to see that. The river that was flowing with a mighty force began to just curl back up and flood, if you will, that upper land. And the water just went up there and became a lake. Wow. And all the water that was going down that river, now it's gone. And those priests stood out there in the middle of the Jordan River, seeing all. And all the children of Israel walked across, just straight across from Jericho. I don't know what that reference is. I've not really looked it up, Brother Chuck. But there's a high possibility that may have been the widest point in the river. There probably was a whole lot easier way to get across than right there. That's usually how God does it. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You know, there might have been a whole lot easier way to get this beautiful sanctuary. But God chose to give us a bargain on a building and let us work on it. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. And so here they are, their faith in God rolled back the waters. Their obedience to God rolled back the waters. Faith and obedience are hand in hand. Oh, my, James said, if you say you have faith and you don't have works, more or less, he said, it don't work that way. Because if you've got faith, you're going to have works, because faith without works is dead. What is works? Works are obedience to God. Hallelujah. You show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Hallelujah. My faith is in God, so that means my allegiance to God, my obedience to God. And here these priests were in obedience to God. And because they stepped on down in the water, the waters parted. And they all walked across on dry ground except for the first two priests. Because they walked on water for a little while. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know how it happened, Brother Chuck. But I mean, I can just vision right here. There's the water. And it's time to step into it. Did they go down? Or did the water just go down as their foot went down? Whoa. I believe that the minute that foot hit that water, the water started moving away. And they're going, whoa. And there it goes some more. And there it goes some more. And look. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise His holy name. That is what God wants to do in your life. That's what He wants to do in my life. Hallelujah. Those circumstances, those old bad habits that we think that we can't get loose from, God can roll them away. Hallelujah. But it's going to take faith on your part. It's going to take faith on my part. And faith requires obedience. Hallelujah. To God's word or God's command. Glory. Everybody, I've seen it time and time again. I need deliverance. Then walk away from it. I need healing, then walk towards the King. Hallelujah. I need help financially, then get up and go to work more. Faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. And so we see then that faith is the important factor for the believer's life. Jason just made mention of the scripture that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. A lot of times, things have been tight in our household. When we first launched out into ministry, things were really tight. But I never had to beg for bread. But I had to work for it, Brother Chuck. I had to work for it. And so I didn't have to beg for bread. You got to realize what that scripture is talking about. It doesn't mean times aren't going to get tight and times aren't going to get tough. It just means when it gets tough, the tough get going. Because the righteous, I mean, if things get down low, they rise up and find out where they can work to get something accomplished. Wow. You got so many of them sitting around today. I said, man, I ain't got any money. Well, why ain't you working? Oh, work. Oh, man, that's hard. That's rough. I wish you boys could have, you know, lived with me on the farm. You know nothing about work. You know nothing about hard. You know nothing about fun. Praise God. And I'm not making reference to work either. Amen. Hallelujah. But when there's work and when it's done, that's when the fun begins. You see, that's where I've learned that, principal school students. I learned it working on the farm, because when I had chores and things that I was supposed to do, I realized if I got them done, hey, I got free time. Well, and you know what you can do on a farm with free time? You can ride motorcycles. You can ride horses. You can go down to the woods. You can build forts. I mean, but the work's got to be done. Oh, hallelujah. Faith and work go hand in hand. Hallelujah. And so we see then faith parted a river, because they had enough faith in their God to step into the water. Glory. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but it took faith to have this building. It took my faith. It took my wife's faith. Because there were certain steps we had to take to make it happen. And we took it by faith because God said this is the way it needs to go. Hallelujah. And faith is what keeps it going. Praise God. Matthew 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That third person. Glory. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Even right here in these statements that Jesus gave to his disciples at the very end, before he ascended. Number one, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wow. Praise our God. You see, this is why the enemy doesn't want you and I to have faith. This is why the enemy don't want you and I to have confidence in our God. He wants us to have fear. Fear is not faith. Fear is real. All people experience fear. I back up a few steps. Those priests getting ready to step into that water had fear. Because they knew not what the outcome was going to be. And you can rest assured there was a measure of fear. That ark was not light. That ark was wood, then covered in gold. It was not light. And if they got down in the water with that ark, they were gone. Because it was the ark of God, and it could not go under. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh God, give us that determination. It is the glory of God, and I will not go under. I will not succumb to sin. I will not go that way. I will not hear and listen to the lies of the enemy any longer. But I will listen to my God. And I will walk victoriously for my King. For he has done all for me. Woo! All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now he told them, go. Go ye therefore. What's he saying? Because I have all the power, now you can go. And you can teach. Doesn't mean they're going to like it. Most folks didn't. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Obedience. Faith. And lo, I am with you always. Praise God. What is that? That's a promise. He's right there beside you, Brother Chuck. He's right there beside you, Sister Lindsay. He's with every one of us. As Brother Noah so wonderfully preached, his kingdom is in us. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. There's a song that is sung from time to time on the Pandora station that I listen to. And it talks about you're never alone. There's no need for loneliness because you're never alone. As a child of God, you're never alone. Hallelujah. The King is with you. Wow. Hallelujah. Grab a hold of that. Hallelujah. You've got a King in your house. Praise God. Glory. Not talking about your husband, not talking about your wife. Hallelujah. You've got a King in your house, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we must acknowledge Him as King. We must present Him as King. And we must have faith and confidence
that he is the king of our household. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You know, if we would really get the reality that the king is in our house, some of our households might change a little bit.
Amen. Oh, praise our God. And so here he is encouraging their faith. Here he is letting them know they're not going to be forsaken, and he has everything they're going to need to do what he asked them to do. Now, I don't know whether you realize it or not, and I realize 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost, and then there was another 5,000 added to the church. But do you realize that most of the disciples, those apostles, actually all the apostles except for John, were martyred at a young age? They didn't have a big long life. John did. He lived up in his 70s, 90s even maybe. I can't remember for sure right now. But I mean, he lived long. But all the rest of them preached their hearts out and lost their lives for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they did it all in faith, in obedience to Jesus Christ. The gospel was not really widely received well. Go read the book of Acts. When Paul would come into the town, he'd go to the synagogue, and within 3 weeks, they'd be ready to kill him. I ain't preach like that to you. I'm serious. You go read the book of Acts. I've just read it here over again. I've read it twice in a row. Because everywhere that he went, by the time about 3 weeks would pass by, there were some Jews, his own countrymen, that would rise up and be ready to stone him, kill him, drive him out of town, do away with him, just like he had done before he met Jesus. That's how the gospel was met. It wasn't just the Jews. He cast a devil out of a little young lady, a little maiden, the Bible says. You'd think they would rejoice. No, they put the city in a whole stir, and they got beat for it. Faith is a lot of work. Sometimes faith brings turmoil. Sometimes faith will bring trouble. And I think we might see a little bit more of that as time goes on and Jesus tarries. That our faith is going to bring some trouble because we're going to be falsely accused of being something we're not. You got to stop and think just for a moment. The signs of the last days are going to call good evil and evil good. Now, which are you? Are you good? Then they're going to call you evil. Are you being evil? Well, then they're going to call you good. In other words, if you'll go along with them and do whatever they want done, oh, you're okay, you're all right, you're good. But the moment you stand on God's word and God's truth, oh, you're evil. You're a terrorist. Got enough of the Holy Ghost to be a terrorist for God? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not talking about bearing arms and guns and rifles either. Are you ready to die for Jesus Christ? Because it's going to take faith to do what God wants done. And sometimes what God wants done doesn't mean it's going to look like we win. You know, when Peter hung on his cross upside down, to the world it didn't look like he won. But to the kingdom of God, he was a great warrior. Jesus Christ didn't look like he had won on the cross of Calvary. They thought they had defeated him, that he had lost. But he won. He had died for the sins of the world. He had won. The sacrifice had been accepted. The veil rent from the top to the bottom. The third day he rose from the dead, signifying he was the Son of God. The first fruits of the resurrection. He had won. But to the world it looked like he had lost. To the world they called him Beelzebub.
So don't think it's strange when the world starts calling you evil. Because that's when righteousness in your light is shining bright. It may not always bring good results according to the world, but it will always be right to stand for right. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, and I've got to close. Verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Basically, then he makes this statement in verse number 8. This is what you need to be doing. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hallelujah. Angels stepped up, had more or less said, What are you doing standing here? He said, Go there. Glory. We do it a lot. We get starstruck. God moves on us. God blesses us. And then he speaks to us. And he gives us an unction, a command, a directive. And we're still just, my, wasn't that a good service? Wasn't that awesome to be in the presence and the power of God? What are you still doing here? Why aren't you doing what he said? Why ain't you doing what he said? Woo. It happens. They were in awe. They had just seen Jesus Christ die, rose from the dead, walked among them, and now they've seen him rise into heaven. Whoa. Just shows you how angels are. All right, guys, enough. Get to work. Woo. Nothing like the blessing of God. Now get to work. Nothing like the moving of the power. Now get to work. Woo. We just want to bask in the moving of God and do nothing. Get to work. Get away from sin. Leave it behind. Get away from those attitudes. Get away from those friends that lead you astray. Oh. Get to work, because the Lord is on your side. Get on his side. Let your faith begin to be displayed in your actions and in your life, praising God, serving God, doing what you do. You do it for the King. Hallelujah. Jesus, let them know power's coming. Power's coming. Hallelujah. Your faith is what it's going to take, but that faith is going to have to be coupled with the power of God. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. And you want to see God do great things on the face of the earth, it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost coupled with your faith. And that's when God moves on the face of this earth. When you believe God will move. If you don't think God can, he won't. Just the bottom line of it. He won't. But when you begin to believe he will, hallelujah, he will. Praise our God. Hallelujah. That's what faith is all about. And how we get knocked out of our faith, well, there's all kinds of distractions and distress and discouragement and depression. I mean, all these things are the enemy trying to keep me from the faith Christ is building in my heart. He distorts everything. The enemy does. He distorts it. How's he distort it? With your mind. Your own mind. It's amazing what the imagination can do. 101 reasons why something bad's going to happen. It's because you don't know where somebody's at. I mean, you know, just doing your work, going about your daily routine, and all of a sudden somebody, they're not on time. They're not where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be. And now 101 things that have went bad. I've experienced that. Maybe not 101, it's probably 102. And I'm thinking, there's been some times no, this ain't right. My God's bigger than that, so get out of here, devil. And go right on. Why? Because my God's bigger than that. Hallelujah. He's never failed me. He's always there. And if I belong to Him, my wife belongs to Him, my children belong to Him, why should I worry? Why should I fret? Glory. They belong to Him. They don't belong to me. They belong to Him. And He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah to the land. Well, Brother Pepper, what if something bad happens? What if? That's my own word. Woff. Woff. What if something bad happens? Well, what if something bad does happen? I can't stop it. I can't change it. But He can. And if something bad happens, then it's going to happen for a reason. And there's going to be something need to be done. And faith is going to be need to be exercised a different way than I've ever did it before. Right now, my faith is in protection. Hallelujah. If protection doesn't come, my faith then is in God's going to work it all out. He's got a plan. He's always got another move. Woo, praise Him. I'm talking about men and women who serve God. Now I'm not talking about wannabes. I'm not talking about in or outers, you know. I'm talking about men and women that want to serve God and please God and acknowledge God in all their ways and have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then you can lay hold of the promises of God. But if you're wishy-washy, my Bible tells me a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Either get in or get out. God wants you in. He's going to keep working till you get in. Because until you get in, you can't claim the promises. You can't trust Him because you won't give Him your life. That's where the first faith comes from. Giving my life to Jesus. Letting Him come in. Hallelujah. Praise our God. You see, He's given power through the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad He abides? Aren't you glad He abides? Praise God. Doesn't mean we're always going to be perfect. Doesn't mean we're always going to do it right. But it does mean we have opportunity to repent, change our mind, and start doing it right. We don't have to be locked in doing wrong. We don't have to be bound by sin no longer. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ died. It's in the New Testament. Hallelujah. That we can be free from it. Doesn't mean it won't come knocking, but it means we don't have to answer the door. Woo. Glory to our God. Isaiah 66:1. Last scripture tonight. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. Oh, glory to God. You want God looking your way? You want God hearing your prayers. Remember I said earlier, you know, that all kinds of people pray. And everybody can pray. It's not a matter how much you pray. But do you have this when you pray? Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Glory. Notice the earth is his footstool. That means no matter what happens down here on the face of this earth, it's always underneath his feet. He is always in control. Hallelujah. It's a matter of you and I having footstool faith, letting him be in control. Letting Him guide my steps. Letting His Word being a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Showing me the direction I need to go. Showing me how I need to live my life. Whoa, hallelujah. He's going to look unto him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit. Hallelujah. What is that? That is a heart. That is a spirit that is ready to hear righteousness. It's a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. Are you hungry for righteousness? Are you thirsty for righteousness? Are you ready to change your life so it lines up with the life of Jesus Christ? If you are, then He's looking your way. He's looking your way. He's hearing your cry. He's hearing your prayer. But if you've put a deaf ear to the King, and you've put Him out there at hands, arm's length. Does anybody know what this means?
Speak to the head. You ever heard that? Speak to the head. I don't know. I don't want to hear what you got to say. Speak to the head. Yeah. Sometimes we'll lift our hands, but we're just saying, I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to change it. I don't want you to be with it.
Speak to the hand. Woo! Now that's not what I lift my hands for. Hallelujah. I lift my heart with my hands because I want to magnify my God. But we got to be careful unless we have an attitude of, speak to the hand, Lord. Got to have footstool faith, knowing that He's above all, created all, He owns it all, and you need to belong to Him. And that only happens when I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That only happens when I will humble my heart and be ready to hear what His Word has to say to me. Glory. That, brothers and sisters, takes work. That takes work. It's not just, you're not just going to wake up in the morning as someone's coming back to the piano. You're not going to just wake up in the morning and it's going to just happen. You're going to have to work at it. Mm-hmm. Glory. Hallelujah. You're going to have to work at it. Amen. You're going to have to keep it on your mind. Today is a day I want to walk by faith. I want to live by faith. I want to walk in the presence of my God. I want to do what God would have me to do. Hallelujah. That's why we read devotions in the morning. That's why we read God's Word in the morning. That's why we pray. Hallelujah. When we get up in the morning, we're trying to set our day where it's going to be a day for the King. Trust me. Those days that you don't start out your day making it a day for the King, tell me how that day goes. I've had my share of them. I'm 60 years old. Not old to some. Old man to others. But at 60 years, I've had good days and I've had bad days. But all my good days have come from serving Him. And all my bad days have come from serving me. And that's just how it is. All the good things in my life come from serving the Lord. Putting Him first. Choosing that this day is going to be a day for the King. It's going to be a day for my God. I'm going to go about doing whatever I need to do. And I'm going to do it unto the God of heaven. The Savior of my soul. Footstool faith. Hallelujah. May seem small, but that's all it takes. It's just a childlike faith. If He said it, I believe it, and I will do it. Praise God. Praise God. Just a childlike faith. Praise His holy name. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, for all your examples of faith throughout your word. I thank you for their truths of faith. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that while you walk the face of this earth, you encourage your disciples continually to have faith in God. Lord, you gave them admonition. You taught them how to pray. Oh, Lord God, it's not a matter of we getting what we want, but God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as you are, so are we in this earth. Father in heaven, stir our hearts, stir our souls, fill us fresh and anew with your Holy Ghost, or fill us for the first time. God, that we might walk in a greater faith, walk in a greater compassion, walk in a greater love, walk with a greater hunger and thirst after righteousness, oh God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord God, for your blessings and your mercy and your promises that are true. Hallelujah. Lord, you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Could we lift our hands unto the Lord tonight, giving him thanksgiving? Oh, hallelujah. Let his truth prevail in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. Hallelujah. Turn to him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Oh, God, we praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this great salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you for your people that call on your name. Thank you, Lord, that you know us by name. Oh, that you know our voice when we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You see it, oh God, when we stand on truth. You see it, Lord, when the enemy attacks our minds. But Lord, we turn it around and we put our confidence in you and your word, your truths. Praise be to our God. Praise be to our God. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I invite you to come around the altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Continue your conversation, with your Lord and with your Savior, with your King and with your God. Hallelujah. Swing wide the door of that heart. Open up the windows of that soul and allow the Spirit of God to work a brand new work right here this night, right here this altar, right here at this time of prayer. Blood.